Donald Oberdorfer, for many years a journalist and now a professor at Johns Hopkins Nitzsche School of Advanced International Studies, has written about Korea over the years and was in North Korea just last month. Welcome to the program once again, Don.
Thank you.
Rob Gifford just presented us with two theories of what North Korea is up to. They might just be responding to an energy shortage occasioned by the U.S. cutoff of oil, or they could be, to use the old analogy, hitting the mule with a 2x4 to get its attention, telling Washington, talk to us, engage with us, or we'll do things you don't like. Which one strikes you as the more likely explanation?
I think there's some of the first in that they do have a very serious energy shortage, but I think it's principally probably the second. When Assistant Secretary Kelly was in Pyongyang, the capital of North Korea, in the early part of October, he accused them of having an illegal nuclear weapons program, which they more or less acknowledged. And at the same time, shortly thereafter, they made a statement that if the United States would assure their security and assure them of non-aggression, they'd like a non-aggression pact, they would be able to, as they put it, clear the concerns, meaning get rid of the program. Mm-hmm. But the U.S. decided not to do that for the time being. It wants to, it's been trying to isolate North Korea rather than talk to them. However, this suggests that North Korea is not willing to wait, that it wants to get the attention of the United States and tell them, okay, fellas, we're ready to talk, but you better start talking, because they could go well beyond this question of just restarting reactors to do other things that would be much, much more serious.
The U.S., as you've said, faces a choice here to attempt to further isolate North Korea, or to attempt, as the North Koreans would prefer, to engage the country and resume some relationship. I wonder first, do the Koreans strike you as likely to react very differently to Washington's choice? That is, are they really amenable to going one way or the other, or do they have their own agenda in terms of nuclear technology or missile sales or whatever?
Well, certainly they have an agenda of their own, but they realize, I believe, that they're living in a real world here. And unless they can make some productive connections with the world outside, they are not going to be able to survive. And the United States is the key.
And in addition to writing about Korea over the years, you've written about U.S. policy toward Korea over the years. How unusual is this administration's policy toward North Korea?
Well, it's very different than the policies of the Clinton administration, which was engaging very much with North Korea.
Now, admirers of the Clinton administration policy and supporters of it call it engagement. Critics call it blackmail, succumbing to blackmail. These people will do nasty things unless the U.S. does things for them. Is there an element of that, and is that the way this administration views it?
I think this administration does view many of the things that were done with North Korea in the Clinton administration as a form of blackmail. But in fact, they are also a form of dealing with a real situation. This is unlike Iraq, in that a military action against North Korea would be absolutely horrendous. It is within artillery range of Seoul, the capital of South Korea and most populous city. And so you don't have a whole lot of choices. In the end, I think sooner or later, the Bush administration, despite what it might like to do, will end up somehow engaged with North Korea, because there are not many alternatives.
Don Oberdorfer, thank you for talking with us once again.
Glad to do it.
Donald Oberdorfer, professor at the Johns Hopkins Nitzsche School of Advanced International Studies and author of The Two Koreas, A Contemporary History.